Welcome back. You're listening to Radio Entrepreneurs. This is Greg Stoller, filling in for Jeffrey Davis, who's on assignment this evening. Please like us on our Facebook page, Radio Entrepreneurs, as well as our three sister stations, WBNW 1120, WPLM 1390, WESO 970. And as always, we are in drive time from 6 to 7 p.m. during the week, etc. I am pleased to have in the studio this evening Howie Green, who is a financial executive who has worked in the retail industry for many years, often helping founders and entrepreneurs to grow and control their businesses. Howie, good evening and welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
You're welcome. So tell us a little bit about your story. You mentioned that you help entrepreneurs grow and control their businesses. The growing piece of it makes perfect sense to me. How do you help an entrepreneur control his or her business?
Well, oftentimes an entrepreneur is the creative force behind a good idea. They are very capable of taking their idea to a certain level, and at some point the business grows and you need to call in help. I've worked for four different founders, entrepreneurs. They're all very good people, very talented people, very creative people. Many times they do not like to deal with the minutiae and financial administrative details that I enjoy.
Now, you had mentioned off air that you are an accountant by training. I know that there is a concept of financial control versus accounting control. What value do you add in the process? A little bit of both or one versus the other?
Yeah, a little bit of both. My forte is in the process and efficiencies and cost savings and kind of growing at a proper pace. Entrepreneurs are fast forward, love to make quick decisions, often have never worked with anyone else or reported to anyone else, so their decision is final and not often thought out, well thought out.
So let me parrot back to you what I think you're saying. Most entrepreneurs will want to grow, and arguably it will be different if you're growing at 100% of your base is $10 a year versus 10% at, you know, $1,000 a year. But what you're saying is if the entrepreneur wants to grow at 90% per year to put his or her name on the map, you're there to sort of rein him or her in a little bit and say, let's go for measured control growth as opposed to trying to hit a grand slam when we are up at the plate every time.
Yeah, absolutely. There are obviously financial constraints on what type of capital is available for growth, and the history and the marketplace, all are factors that need to be evaluated that oftentimes an entrepreneur just relies upon themselves and instinct and intuition.
And you mentioned that you've worked for four entrepreneurs in the past few years. What industries have you worked in?
It's been a few in the apparel industry. One was in the closeout, and one was in imported giftware. Each one was kind of a unique circumstance. One of the closeout places, we worked very hard to obtain some financing, spent it very, what we thought was wisely and prudently, on store fixtures, which would help us grow the business, and then the 9/11 tragedy happened, and all the plans kind of went out the window.
So for the benefit of our listeners, what you're saying is you're buying inventory either at reduced prices or from a train wreck or something of that ilk. You're trying to find a home for that inventory by buying it for, let's make up the numbers, 5 cents on the dollar, reselling it for 20 cents on the dollar, and through the 15 cent differential, that's where you're making your margin for the entrepreneur.
Absolutely. But in that case, we were buying store fixtures, you know, display cases that, again, for 5 cents on the dollar that we would never have been able to afford, which really would have given the store a beautiful look.
And you mentioned you've worked in the apparel industry as well. Tell us about that sort of experience.
One of the apparel businesses was a very successful business person, and getting into apparel was kind of a sidelight. Her strength was not in apparel. She loved the buying portion, but took her eye off the ball, trusted others, and had tremendous internal theft issues that I was able to uncover.
Excellent. So what specific things have you positively impacted on a company?
Well, sometimes it's as easy as going in and using information that was not known to the owner or something that they just overlooked. Automated systems, reports that were available that no one had ever used. And again, cost savings, evaluating jobs and job descriptions. You know, who are the essential people for growth? What do we need to grow the business?
So if you had to summarize your skill set, would you say what percentage of it is value add in terms of being accretive to earnings per share by helping a company grow revenue as opposed to helping cost savings go down in terms of having them manage their bottom line more effectively?
About 30 to 40% in revenue. I am not the knowledgeable person necessarily in the industry. I control the operation and the back office, and obviously, after all these years, have good experience on revenue issues and how to maximize it, especially in today's day and age with social media and website being so important.
So what you're saying is if a CEO comes to you with a vision, you're going to help the CEO implement that vision by not only keeping them on track financially in terms of top line growth, but also helping them operationally be more efficient.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. You're listening to Radio Entrepreneurs. In the studio this evening is Howie Green, who is has worked in the retail industry for several years, helping founders and entrepreneurs grow and control their businesses, et cetera. So where do you go next? What does Howie Green 2.0 look like?
Well, I'm looking to find a similar story, someone who's got a unique idea or a hot idea or is in an industry with the proper niche, and to really play the same role, help them grow the revenue, the business, with proper controls and doing it in an intelligent fashion.
What do you think is the future of the retail industry right now? And by retail, I am including in that big box retail as well as online, because I think the two are being inextricably linked.
Retail will survive.
You're talking big box, brick and mortar, right?
Yeah, everyone will survive. A lot of the small players and big players will go by the wayside. If your product is conducive to internet sales, you're struggling right now. It's easy to shop around, and if it's a can opener, there's no risk in the shipping and differential from one store to another.
Out of curiosity, would you purchase, being in the business, would you most likely be inclined to purchase online if you could save 10 or 15%, or do you think you have to ardently support brick-and-mortar retailers because that's the world you've worked in for so many years?
I do both. Apparel, soft goods, any clothing I want to wear, I want to touch it, feel it, try it on. You know, the same size pants all fit a little differently. Hard goods, computer pieces, very easy to purchase online. You get over a certain price, I don't think I would really buy a television online.
Okay, but if it, and this is a question I ask of my MBA students all the time, if you had the choice between saving, $15 by buying a book on Amazon or spending $15 more by supporting your local retailer, which would you be inclined to do?
No, I believe I tend to buy on the internet in that case.
You do? Okay.
Yes.
Interesting.
You buy cameras on the internet?
Jeffrey Davis is back in the studio, by the way.
I'm only asking that because you just said you wouldn't buy the TV on the internet.
Yeah, I think it's a physical size. I'm concerned about the shipping of a TV. A camera to me is small and safe.
Even if the shipping is free?
Free shipping seems to be the way that everyone has gone.
Okay. Would you recommend people invest in the retailing companies these days?
Sure. It keeps me employed. But I think that, as I said, retail will survive, and you just have to be smart about what you do in it.
Do you see a big difference between the big box companies and mentality for how they operate and the smaller retailers?
My forte is with the smaller retails. I don't know the billion-dollar big box companies, how they really operate.
Well, that's why it's great to have you on the show, because most people come from that world, and it's nice to have somebody who's an entrepreneur who gets it.
Right.
But I still think Jeffrey's question is a good one. Continue, s'il vous plaît.
The big box stores are going to fall some. We've seen the hardware, the electronics people, very competitive, falling by the wayside.
Right.
I go to the mall and shop the full price retail stores and are just amazed at the quantity of inventory and how they ever get rid of it at a profit.
Yeah, all the inventory and the small margins they're carrying.
And the very small margins.
So it's hard in electronics. Easier in apparel?
Don't know the difference, really.
Okay.
I think the interesting thing about apparel is there's a certain tactile sensation in the sense that, and I think Howie hit the nail on the head. I mean, this morning we're preparing for our kids to go to summer camp, and my wife is wrestling as to whether she buys, her jacket from online retailer A versus in-store B, knowing that if it doesn't fit, she can return it to in-store B very quickly, whereas if she buys it on the internet, she's going to have to get a shipping label, get a box, and it's just one more step in the process, et cetera.
The frightening thing, of course, with apparel when you go into the stores in the mall is they're all markdowns waiting to happen.
Right.
Whatever doesn't sell at full price and very little does all becomes promotional, and that erodes the margin.
Which becomes an arbitrage opportunity, which is why you've been so successful over the years. The question is, prima facie, what's going to be more attractive to the consumer, something that he or she could get a bargain from, or knowing that Walmart is always going to be Walmart and that their inventory is a given and it's most likely going to be in the store?
See, I like going to private retailers because I know about the rotation of their stock.
And so I, do I.
And, yeah. And I watch it, and I know it's going to roll through the store. And it's just a matter of my being patient.
Yes, we have. I've seen customers that know the cycle of the business and when markdowns come, at what point in the week or the month, and they just sit and wait.
How much of your time when you work with these entrepreneurs is charting strategy as much as operational efficiency? Because I think Jeffrey hit the nail on the head. It really is a timing issue that it's a matter of just when it's going to come through their stores. But for the benefit of our listeners, do you spend most of your time arguing strategy in the corporate boardroom, or do you really figure out operationally this is how we're going to make our margin?
Operationally, that's the day-to-day nuts and bolts, which drives cash registers and puts money in the bank to pay bills and grow and go forward.
So, Howie, if people want to get in touch with you, your email address, your phone number, how can they do so?
My email address is hgreenheel, hgreenheel, at comcast.net.
And do you mind giving your cell phone number?
I do.
Okay, no problems. we're just trying to help you with Howie 2.0. You've been listening to Howie Green on Radio Entrepreneurs. A financial executive who's worked in the retail industry for many years, helping founders and entrepreneurs grow and control their businesses. We'll be back next with more stories on Radio Entrepreneurs.